Welcome to Plants, People and Places, the podcast in which we speak with plants people and find out what special connection they have with their plants. This week we speak with Charlie Benton, who was previously TV gardener on ITV This Morning, did the Hampton Court Flower Show, and now runs a garden business in Kent.
Welcome to the podcast, Charlie. People might know you from TV or might know you from being a gardener in Kent, but could you introduce yourself, please, to the people who do not know you?
Yeah. So I am Charlie Benton, and I am a gardener, cross landscaper, back to professional gardener. And that pretty much sums me up. Dabbled in a little bit of TV and a bit of media, but now quite happy with just a pair of secateurs in my hands.
Very nice. Yeah. And whereabouts do you live?
I'm in Kent. I'm near Detlin, so near Maidstone at the moment. And yeah, that's where I am.
And have you got a big garden at home as well, or is it more time spent on your clients?
No, I have. So when we first came to look at this property, it was the garden that I looked at first. Yeah. So we've got quarter of an acre here.
Oh, nice.
So I've got a bit of a woodland because I like my woodland area. Mm-hmm. And in our woodland, we have two pygmy goats because it's on a incline. The goats obviously help keep it down, and they ate all the brambles for us and pick up all the debris. So it saves me maintaining the woodland. The front of my garden is mainly laid to lawn. Mm-hmm. And I have my lollipop rose bushes up the driveway with intermittent cypress trees. So it's a bit of an Italian feel as you come up the drive. And I've got a border with roses and peonies in, which is quite nice and formal. Well, I try anyway. And I have a wisteria arch, which is nice for the birds. And I have a bit of a rockery that I've created, a bit of a Mediterranean feel to it. And then to one side of my garden, I've got hops growing, which is quite a fascination of mine. It's quite an interest of mine, which we can hopefully talk about later. So it's a mixture of things in my garden.
That sounds good. And what originally got you into gardening then? Have you always been into it, or is it something you came into later in life?
I've always been into horticulture, gardening and landscaping, something I've always done. So if we go from 16, when I wrote my school report, I said in my school report that I want to have my own landscaping gardening business and my own garden center. So I had a vision from a young age that I wanted that. Now I've only got one of them. I haven't got my own garden center, which would be quite nice because I'd like my own tea room.
I've always a garden center.
have a cup of tea, walk around the nursery, which is what I most often do at the weekends with the family. Always been involved in horticulture from 16. I worked in the rose fields in Kent, budding and grafting roses.
Oh, wow.
And then onto the nursery stock side, really. So I would be helping customers out. And then I picked up some weekend work doing maintenance. And then probably 16, 17, I got a job landscaping, which was for a company which involved a lot of grounds maintenance, really. So mowing of schools and parks and gardens.
Okay.
And then went hard landscaping. And then we done a few things after that. So got to about the age of 21, done a little bit of civil engineering, or tarmacking, as some people might know it. And then decided I want to set up my own business. So 21, 22, I set up my own business and put my toe in the water and went gardening myself.
Nice. Yeah. So you also mentioned when we were talking before that you did something at Hampton Court. And I think I actually saw your garden because I think I exhibited at Hampton Court that year as well. So how did you get onto doing that?
So I believe London Stone put me in contact with a designer who wanted some landscapers to do some of his projects in the South London, Kent area. So we was involved with a landscape designer, and he thought, and I thought it'd be a nice idea if we collaborated and produced a garden together at Hampton Court, our own garden. Mm. I think a year previously, I helped him out a little bit at Chelsea Flower Show, which gave me the taste. And then I thought, I would love to create my own garden. So, yeah, along with the designer and myself and my brother, a very small team, we created that garden at Hampton Court. It was called On the Edge for Centre for Mental Health. Mental Health. They were the charity. And I see that they still produce gardens for... they obviously still produce gardens at RHS shows.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good. Yeah. But you're not getting involved with that anymore because I think you've...
No, we can't.
Gardening, haven't you?
Yeah, so we're now... I've gone back to gardening now. Yeah. So that is... I've kind of stepped away from landscaping and solely concentrating on plants.
Hmm. And what originally gave you the plant bug? Was there anything you can think of when you were younger?
Well, we always grew up in an area of nature, and from a young age my dad always took us out over the woods and the parks, and we would find creatures and cretins and plants. And I remember my dad used to pick up succulents, and we used to call them eggplants. He used to bring them home and stick them in a rockery. My mum was always a keen grower of vegetables and fruits, so we always had an allotment from a young age.
Oh, good.
And we was always in the garden, always. And my granddad was a keen gardener, even though he was a highly skilled professional doctor, but he had an allotment, and we spent our summer holidays at my granddad's in his allotment, in his garden. So we was always outdoors from day dot, really.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that does help as well, doesn't it? If you
use the outdoors.
Yeah.
And use the outdoors.
Yeah. No, that's it. If I sit too long in my office, I just want to be outside again. I'm sure you've got the same then.
I am the same. Even when I'm looking after the children and they're with me, we're not often indoors for too long. I get a bit itchy and I'm like, right, come on, let's go out. Let's go to the park. Let's go in the garden. Let's go and see the goats. Let's just get out of the house.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Of course, the podcast is about, well, plants mainly, plants, people and places. Shall we start with what is your favourite plant? And I do always allow three. So if you ever got one particular one, you can do three.
Yeah, well, I have many favourite plants, but one at the top of my list is a hot plant, the Humus lupulus. It is a hot plant because the hot plant has a great history to it. It has a great form. It has great texture. It has colour to it. And it also is a climber, but it produces a flower and a fruit, the fruit being the hop itself. And not only that, it produces beer. So what man doesn't like beer or alcohol or wine? So I like it. But not only that, it has a steep history within Kent and throughout our lives, even going back to Henry VIII and before that. It has a medicinal purpose to it and an antibacterial purpose to it. And I very much like plants that have benefits to them.
So do you use your own hops for beer brewing as well then?
I did try. I just didn't get around to beer brewing. So I researched the hop plants, and I have different varieties of them. And I have some old traditional Kentish varieties that have been used in Kent for hundreds of years. But what started it was I was out one day for a walk, and we see a hop farm, and I shouldn't say this, but I jumped the fence and I was in the truck and I had a little spade on the back of the truck and I dug one hop plant out of a hop field. But it grew my interest further, and I have since then brought plants and produced and grown and contacted hop growers for advice and been to their farms. So it has led to that. But also it has a sort of a personal connection to me, like many people in Kent, South London, Hampshire, Hertfordshire, because my nan went hop picking.
Oh, really?
My nan went hop picking back in the days, and it's kind of reminiscing that what was a Kent plant and what a lot of labour in Kent done, labour in Kent did do on the farm, fruit picking and hop picking. And yeah, so I have a place in my heart for hops, I suppose. It's a nice bit of heritage.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the National Collection of Hops, which is near Faversham?
No.
It's definitely worth going.
Haven't.
Yeah, it's a bit too late now, probably, because usually it's more end of September that they have an open day or you can make an appointment. But the collection is mainly the historic varieties. And as collections coordinator, I went to see them a couple of years ago, and I just thought, a hop, what can be so different? But he had all these different plants there. And even the shapes of the actual hop bells look, some were really elongated, some were really round and stumpy, all kinds of
100%.
Different shapes and sizes. It was so good. And then also, because the collection holder actually used to work for the breweries, and they had an even bigger collection, and they would ask him, we need to get some sort of flavour in the beer. It needs to be this hoppiness, for instance. And he would
because
then bring them, yeah.
They all hold different tones, citrus tones, different flavors, nuttiness, and there's more than just one hop used in different beers and IPAs. Shepherd and Neame will use, say, five or six varieties in different beers to create different flavors. So that's what I'm interested in as well, because when I used to drink an IPA or a Kentish ale, I would look on the bottle, and sometimes it would say on the bottle what hops they were using to create that flavour. You'd pick up, say, a Master Brew by Shepherd and Neame, and they'd say what hops they've got in it, or a Spitfire or a Golden Ale or a Pale Ale, and they would say what hops they're using. Some of them were actually an American hop that they had, that they were either growing in England or they were shipped over. But I found it fascinating. I could go on for it, but I'm so pleased you told me about that, because I would love to go. I would love to go to it.
Well, we need to organize that. We'll do that next year.
that is a date in the diary. Not only that, but Faversham have a hop festival once a year. So it's normally on the first Sunday or second Sunday of September, which is the hop picking season. They normally have a festival. So it's a deep rooted Kentish paraphernalia, I suppose. It's just like, so you've got the love of horticulture, you've got the love of growing and producing, and it produces this romantic image of what the Garden of England used to be like, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is one of those plants that is so linked to Kent, and it is really special. And as I said, the National Collection here as well, that shouldn't really be in any other county, I think, that needs to be in Kent.
No, exactly.
And even some of the varieties you can now buy in the garden centre, there's a dwarfy yellow one as well. I think it is called Golden Tassels, and that was actually
Golden Tassels
by the collection holder as well in Faversham. So that's also a Kentish one, so we can add that to a list.
Wow. Well, I actually have a Golden Tassels.
Have you?
I have a Golden Tassels, a Fuggle, which was one of them. I'm trying to think of the other ones. A Magnum, I thought was a. I had a Magnum, which was lovely. And like you say, go back, talk about the cones. The cones were all different, and the leaves on them were slightly different. And some of them produced big clusters, some of them produced little clusters, some of them produced big bells, little bells. But I tell you what I used to do. I used to go over them to them in the morning, and really, when they were coming to picking, stick my nose in them and just give them a big sniff. Yeah, I loved them. And last year, I cut them down, and I was sitting in my garage picking them, and I was putting them into an old wash basket. And I thought, what am I going to do with all these hops? I've literally picked them, and I didn't know what to do with them. So I was told that you put them into a food freezer bag. You push the freezer bag down with a zip on, so you pull the zip, and then you chuck them in the freezer when they're green, and that way it preserves them. But do you know what? Still, I didn't do anything with them, and I got them out of the freezer and just threw them away.
Oh.
I just didn't know what to do with them. I didn't have the equipment. I didn't have the time. I didn't educate myself. But Maybe well, this
you've got
year
all winter and next year to brush up on your knowledge about
exactly
beer brewery.
So maybe
you can do it next year, but especially after we visited the National Collection, be good.
100%, I'm with you.
Yeah, we'll do that definitely. So you already mentioned hop and your grandmother coming down as well to do the hop picking. But are there any other plants that have special memories for you at all?
I'll tell you what had a special memory for me if I was to think of my mother's garden. It's actually a flowering currant, a ribes. So from a young age, I just remembered this stiff, sturdy, tough bush that, let's say, that it was in the garden and you'd always kick a football near it. And I remember it being near a shed and it produced a black berry, but it produced a lovely, yet again, almost like a cluster elongated flower. And it was pink and white, but the leaf of it was actually like a currant and it produced a black berry. But the smell of it reminded me of a zoo.
Oh, yes.
And it always stuck
That's
in my
one
head.
Way to describe it.
it's kind of a... And to put it into perspective, it reminded me of a zoo around tigers because the tigers have a scent and a smell that they spray, and it isn't a sour smell. It's actually quite a sweet, nutty smell. And I remembered it was probably about the time we went to the zoo, and I thought, you can smell these tigers. And then we was in the garden, and I thought, for some reason, this plant smells like tigers. And it's just kind of linking the two together. And we was kids.
Yeah, they do have
so,
quite
yeah, that, that's
pungent
another
smell,
one.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I didn't think that a ribes had a pungent smell. And then another favourite plant of mine when I was a kid in the garden was strawberries.
Oh, really?
Because I remember my mum had, she enjoyed growing and vegetables and fruit because it was convenient and easy and cost effective to also feed the family as well, especially when we didn't have a lot of money. So if she could grow vegetables to help put on the plate, but also she loved being in the garden. But I remember when I grew strawberries, you're not only just growing one strawberry, you are learning to propagate at a young age from the runners.
Yeah.
So you're learning that not only does one plant produce these strawberries, it produces runners, and you could let those run and cut them and pop them on. So from a young age, we was learning, I suppose, easy propagation.
Yeah.
Getting more out of a plant than just one thing.
Yeah. And again, strawberries are grown loads in Kent, of course. So you stick to the Kentish plants here.
We are, aren't we?
England, here we are.
Yeah. And I suppose that's where I am. I am born and bred and work in the Garden of England, and I've got horticulture in my fingernails daily. Yeah.
So we've spoken about some of your favourite plants, but are there also plants that you really do not like and would never plant?
Oh, that's a tough one, because where I work in quite a few different gardens, you come across plants that you think, I don't like it. And then all of a sudden that plant grows on you and you're like, oh, I like that. And then you think, you didn't like that 6 months ago. Why do you like it now? There's something obviously about that plant that you like.
Mm.
What plants don't I like? Ground elder, if you can classify that as a plant. I don't like ground elder.
Well, that's a nice variegated ones.
Yeah, variegated. Lavateria. I'm not a great fan.
Why don't you like those then?
It reminds me of old granny's gardens. Buddleia, I do like, but it can be a bit of a thug and it can be a bit messy, but it does have many purposes. What else don't I like? I've got my little Murphy here.
If anyone hears heavy breathing, it is the dogs.
Yeah, it's the dog. He's interested in the microphone with his paws on the desk. I am actually trying, It's quite a hard one to say what I don't like, actually.
But I do always find as well, like you say, sometimes you don't like something, but then you see it at a different time of year and suddenly you can see the attractiveness of it as well. But of course, for instance, if you would show someone a hellebore in middle of summer, then people go, what kind of straggly thing is this? But show them the same thing in February, March, then it's a completely different plant, of course.
Yeah. And another, I don't particularly like yellow in a garden, if we were to say a colour. I don't particularly like yellow. So rudbeckias, not a great lover of them. They can be a bit thuggish, as I'm finding out, because I'm lifting and dividing them at the moment.
All right.
I do like texture in a garden. So I like nice textured leaves. But I also like a bit of formality in the borders. Yeah, clematises I find a bit hit or miss. They look beautiful, but they can also look a right bloody mess.
Yeah, with those, I always do think if people haven't looked after them for years, then you've got a few leaves at the top, haven't you? And there's just all straggly bits underneath.
Exactly. Yeah,
quite often they don't look good because they just haven't been pruned very well. Obviously, that is not the case in the gardens you maintain.
Yes, yes.
So if you look back on your horticultural career, are there any plant or horticultural heroes that you can think of, like people who've really inspired you and you think, yeah, they have sort of always given me good advice to get my gardening right?
Yeah, so there's a couple of people that I've found fascinating. If I start with Charles Darwin, I wouldn't say that he was potentially a horticulturalist. He was interested in the world, the species, birds, exotic animals, wildlife, plants. But I remembered when we went to see his garden, I was with my granddad, and he had a stepping stone in his garden near the beautiful walled greenhouse. And he had a stepping stone in his garden, and what he evaluated, or what he assumptions was, that the stone had fallen further into the ground because of the earthworms underneath creating voids, which created that stepping stone to fall into the ground. And I remember being told that probably when I was, say, 11, 12.
All right.
And you remember things like that, earthworms, beetles, stick insects, bugs and creatures. But not only that, he was a man that liked carnivorous plants. And in Down in Kent, there's a meadow out there that has carnivorous plants in the marshes, in the bog area, which are related to Venus flytraps, sun dunes, sticky plants. So, yeah, Charles Darwin, if he can be classified as a hero, he would be a hero to me.
Yeah, yeah, Down House is amazing. It is also an English heritage property. And I heard, I think the day before yesterday, that they just did a survey for the fungi they have this year. And it is a really good year for the fungi. Lots of stuff in the garden, lots of stuff in their fields as well. So definitely even this time of year, later on in the year, definitely still worth going there as well. So have you got any other horticultural heroes at all?
My other horticultural hero, if I could put my granddad in there, then I would put my granddad in there, because he taught us a lot and he was very patient with us. And I remember him teaching us how to propagate and germinate our own fuchsias. I remember him doing that because my brother was quite a fan of fuchsias and he lived in Bromley, hence why we went to Down House, because it's not far from there. And I remember we went to a country fair once and he brought us monkey pots, like Venus flytrap pots.
Oh, yes.
So he brought us then, because we walked into this tent at the time. We was only little and we could see these like things hanging. And the woman was selling these plants. Probably. That's it, picture plants. Yeah.
Nice.
So I remember he brought us them and he was very patient with us and we had a lot of fun in the garden.
Yeah. It's funny though, because so many people I speak to about the plants and the plant bug, and quite often there are either cacti or carnivorous plants somewhere in the
Okay.
mix, because I think it's just one of those things that children love and are fascinated with. So quite often, yeah, it is quite often one of the things that sets off the bug as well, which is really good. Yeah.
They're definitely a winner. They're definitely a winner. Something that is funky is definitely a winner.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, thanks very much for being on the podcast, Charlie. It was really nice to talk to you and get to know you a bit better as well.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
If you would like to know more about the plants featured in this episode, then find us on Instagram or Facebook on Plants, People and Places podcast.